Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I think they're going to play their asses off. I think it's a National Football League. You know, I think Ben will have them ready to play. Dennis Allen, I mean, we're just getting into the film, you know, right now, obviously, and just, you know, kind of put this game to bed. And midnight rule was in effect last night after the win, or 10:30, I guess, for me. But, you know, Dennis Allen's an incredible coach. Ben Johnson, I mean, what he's done from an offensive standpoint in his career, I mean, one of those fast risers. They're going to play hard. I mean, you know, just like the Giants play whoever, they're 0-2. It's a damn good football team we beat with maybe one of the best front sevens in all of football. And just because they're 0-2, just because we're 1-0, just because somebody's 2-0, Philadelphia's 2-0, you don't change. And we'll have our hands full going up to Chicago.
We're back with more of your local Ford Dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio, 670 The Score, and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to your local Ford Dealers pregame show. We've got the perennial Pro Bowler Olin Kreutz. We've got the longest-serving Bear in Patrick Manley. And I am Mully from the morning show here on The Score. We're delighted to get down to Dallas and welcome in Brian Broaddus. He with The Fan in Dallas, 105.3. Does the afternoon show, does the pre and post, and we're delighted to welcome him to our program. And he joins us on the Circa Illinois hotline. Go ahead and download that Circa app today. Brian, good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well, gentlemen. Happy game day to you.
Thank you. We are delighted to get to another one after last week, and I'm sure you look at where the Cowboys are at 1-1, and you know, took a lot of effort. It took an awful big leg to beat those Giants. Goodness gracious, that is quite the field goal kicker. Tell us a little bit about where this team is positioned after the big trade and everything that's going on to start the season.
Yeah, guys, they're a very good offensive team. They're the skill position, especially with the wide receivers, with Lamb and Pickens, and you can throw Turpin in there as well for some of the stuff that they do with him, you know, out of the backfield, in the slot, down the field. You know, Jake Ferguson at tight end is really coming into his own. Last year he dealt with a concussion and some knee problems, but, man, he's off to a really, really good start this year. And the quarterback's playing very, very well. He was good in Philadelphia. He was really good in the clutch when they needed him against the Giants. They had a hard time up front with that Giant defensive line. You know, with the tackle spot, they're always going to have to deal with that with Dexter Lawrence. But then the edge rushers with Thibodeau and Burns and others, that was an all day war for them to have to go through. And so, you know, Dak was able to make some plays when they had to defensively. You know, at Matt Eberflus, I mean, I don't have to tell the folks of Chicago, you know, with Matt Eberflus and the style, the schemes and things that he plays with, but they sat there and played zone and got into cover two and kind of put some guys in position that really aren't very good cover two players. You know, Donovan Wilson is more of a down player. They play a lot more, you know, they've always kind of been a single high team, and now all of a sudden you're playing a lot more two deep. And, you know, Donovan Wilson, that was just a struggle, and they just, you know, with the two deep look, they weren't getting any, any collisions at the line of scrimmage to redirect receivers. And the Giants took complete advantage of that with some of their vertical routes that really hurt them. But they haven't been able to get much of a pass rush. That's been a big problem. They the team moves on from Micah Parsons. You get Kenny Clark, but you've got an offense. It's interesting that can score points, but now you have a defense when you have to rush the passer. When teams get behind, they'll abandon the run and just throw the football on you. Well, yeah, good and great having Kenny Clark, but where's the pass rush coming from? So they're kind of in a little bit of a problem defensively, trying to kind of figure some things out, and they're dealing with some injuries on the back end. That's no excuse. They've got to be better on defense, and the Giants just lit them up last week playing that way.
Hey, Brian, have you learned anything about the hits principle from Matt Eberflus?
I have not. And, it's funny, and Matt and I actually go way back. I was as an NFL scout for 13 years, and then I was working with the Cowboys on the .com side and got to know Matt pretty well. And Matt won't take my texts anymore. I'm on the radio bitching about his scheme too much, I think, for him. He's probably got wind of that. But, I have not learned that yet from Matt.
Question for you, though, about Dak Prescott. You brought him up, and he looks like, he's healed from the injury, and he looks elite. Would you say he's an elite quarterback in the NFL?
Well, there's been times where he has played with elite level. Where he's not elite is you can fool him, and you can fool him in coverage. And sometimes pre-snap is difficult for him. I've seen people where he really has problems is where, all of a sudden he feels like that maybe they're going to get a linebacker drop into an area. And, sometimes people will jump routes on him. And it even happened in training camp, with, going against his own team, there would be moments where, wow, he never saw that linebacker. So you would think that pre-snap that he would do that. I think where Dak has some elite tendencies is he is an elite leader, and his teammates do believe in him very, very much. But I would say there are some times where he doesn't have elite play. Now, he's been really good play action and playing underneath center, and that's something where in the past where he's turned his back to the defense and then had to find where the receivers were, that has been a problem. But this, at least through the first 2 weeks of the season, he's done very well. They've run the ball, decently with Williams. That's something that they can a little bit hang their hat on. But yeah, the elite part of it, I would say no. But there are some elite tendencies that he has. But like I say, reading defenses at times could be a little bit of something, a little bit of a daunting task for him.
Hey, Brian, just slow down this, Cowboys pass game and their quarterback and their great wide receivers, as you talked about. The Bears need to get a little more out of their defensive line. Tell us a little bit about their offensive line, the matchup they're going against, especially they lost Cooper Beebe last week, who, when I watched the film, he did a lot of work up front, communicating, getting guys organized in the mic point with Hoffman coming in. What do you think about this offensive line group, and where can we attack them?
Man, you've got him dead on is what you do. That's a good eye on your part. They struggled across the board with the exception of, Tyler Smith, the left guard, is exceptional. He plays at a Pro Bowl level. Tyler Booker, the right guard, is a rookie. Where teams have gotten to the Cowboys a little bit, and again, watching the Bears tape, I saw some of the gap exchange, the twist stunts and stuff up front. That's given Booker a little problems. I'm not to say at Alabama that he didn't see twist fronts and things like that, but his reaction to that could be a little bit slow. And so him and Steele, the right tackle, have got to do a better job of that. You mentioned Hoffman. Hoffman is a much better pass blocker than he is a run blocker. And so, that's where, he's just not a second level player. He doesn't get up on the linebackers as well. They've done a really good job, like say, running the football because they have a Brevin Span Ford, the tight end, is almost like a tackle. He's a 270-pound tight end, and they get really good push at the point. And then they've been running a lot of pull schemes and stuff where they've gotten, they pulled they pull the guards, and then they bring either an H or a fullback and pull with it and then kind of clean up. So they log inside, they kick outside, and then they've got some gaps. So, yeah, it's going to be, you know, the Giants were really got after him rushing the passer. But, you know, the run defense stuff was not as good. And, you know, I kind of have a feeling that Dallas is going to try and run the ball a little bit on the edges against the Bears here and see if they can. You know, I was watching the Lions game, and, man, there was some, you know, the Lions have got a good offensive line, but they had some really creative ways, you know, of using Penei Sewell, kicking out and blocking down with the fullback or the wing, and then kind of creating gaps and stuff. So I could see, you know, Dallas trying to take advantage of that and maybe take advantage of some of the stuff with the Bears dealing with some injuries at linebacker.
Brian, I'm curious about the field goal kicker. I know we don't spend a lot of time talking about guys like that, but there are very few that have the kind of story that Brandon Aubrey does, a guy that played professional. I guess he was a Notre Dame guy, played college soccer, wound up playing in Toronto, and then as a software engineer, he started kicking, started working with a kicking specialist. Then he ends up going to the USFL. He ends up as a Pro Bowl kicker. He's been a Pro Bowler the last 2 years, and he's got this extraordinary kicking style, and he's, you know, he's a grown man. He didn't. It's not like he came into professional football as a 23-year-old. What I mean, tell us about how they got him and what he's done, and how much of a danger is he?
No, he is a real weapon, and we should thank for the Cowboys. If you're a Cowboy fan, of course, you're on Chicago radio, so that's not happening right now, but. If you're a Cowboy fan, you should be grateful to his wife. They were sitting around watching an NFL game one day, and they happened to game they were watching. Guys were missing field goals, and his wife looked at him and said, "Well, you could miss field goals too. You know, you could be just as good as these guys missing field goals." And sure enough, he went out and you mentioned about the coach and, you know, working on it. The soccer background, the USFL experience was, you know, key. I give, Bones Fossil a lot of credit. You know, Bones no longer with us as a special teams coach. You know, he's up in Tennessee, but he's the one that did the evaluation, you know, on him and, you know, and Aubrey. And he was able to, you know, the Cowboys got him here immediately. What's really funny was we were in training camp, you know, several years ago, and our set was to the right of the goalpost, and it was so funny because we were getting hit with footballs, and he wasn't accurate at all. And so we're kind of thinking, oh, geez, I wonder if this is another one of those situations. But he was in a competition with the kicker at the time. They cut the kicker, and then he never missed from that point on. So it's really strange how sometimes things work out. But yeah, the way he got into the NFL basically is his wife pushed him into saying, hey, you can miss field goals just like these guys. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. It's amazing how smooth he looks. Like, he just, you know, we had Robbie Gold here who had, you know, good as gold or whatever.
Oh,
just
yeah,
had a
absolutely.
Smooth stroke.
Legend.
And very, very similar to that.
Yeah. Legend. Yeah.
Can you talk about some of the injuries that might be hurting the Dallas Cowboys today? I know on the defensive backfield they got a couple that could help us offensively here.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Diggs, you know, his situation with the knee. He's coming off knee surgery really the last couple of years. He's missed time. And, you know, he was he kind of played himself into shape, you know, week one. Again, all the zone coverage they played week two, boy, they got toasted with the vertical routes. You know, he just wasn't running as well as he needed to run. And then, you know, we'll see. He was on the injury report, added with the knee. It appears that he's going to be okay in this one. I don't think that we're going to see Clowney in this game. They were trying to ramp him up as a, you know, as a signing last week, but they really didn't have any practices where it was, you know, where there were a padded practice and they could get a really good gauge on where he was physically. So I don't think he'll play this week, but the Diggs injury you need to keep an eye on. And then again, you mentioned that Bland is the other one. He is out with a foot and ankle that he's dealt with. So that means that that Diggs will play on one side, Elam will play on the other, and then Stewart, Reedy Stewart, will play in, as the nickel in the game against you guys today.
Well, Brian, both teams' cornerbacks are all out, and so, of course, I want to talk about the Bears' running game versus the defensive tackle.
Sure.
So tell me about – I think the Bears have a little bit of an advantage with their offensive line versus what I've seen on film from the Cowboys' sure. defensive line. Tell us about what you've seen from Kenny Clark. I won't try to say Osa, his last name, but
yeah,
where would their pass rush come from, and how would it with Jack Sanborn in the middle, former Bear, how do you expect them to stop the Bears' run?
Well, you know, the Bears stopped themselves from running the ball. That's the thing about it is it seems like to me that, you know, all of a sudden you look at Swift and, you know, he's not getting touched, you know, until beyond the line of scrimmage, but not having success, you know, those 4+ yards per carry. So it's a little bit of a mystery there that the fact that the Bears have done a pretty good job of at least getting the back to the hole, through the hole, and now find a way to finish. I think what Dallas could be counting on today is, and I believe this, guys, I believe it's going to be a shootout. I haven't checked the weather in Chicago today. I don't know the rain. They've talked about that and all that. But, you know, I kind of feel like Dallas's defense could be, you know, in some problems. And I say that in a way, but this offensive line, I think, is clearly better than what they saw with the Giants last week. So, you know, does it turn into, you know, does you know, Caleb Williams, you know, find a way to be accurate in this game? Does he get DJ Moore going? I know you asked about the running game, but I worry the most about Caleb Williams, excuse me, running the football himself. You know, Dallas just does not, you know, they didn't spy in week one against Jalen Hurts. I don't know if Matt, and again, you guys have a great history with Matt. Will he play spy coverage against a guy that can run? You know, maybe that's where the Bears running game might come from today. So, you know, that's you know, those are the things that I think Dallas has to be worried about coming into this game. But yeah, the, you know, they're going to have to, if Dallas's offense is going to have to put up points, that will get the Bears out of running the football for chasing points all day. So that's kind of the way I feel like this thing might go. But you know, if Braxton Jones and Darnell Wright can hold up at the tackles, you know, much like what happened last week with the Giants, you know, Caleb will have some chances to throw the ball down the field because Dallas just doesn't have the pass rush that they had once had with Micah Parsons.
Brian, you mentioned your background as an NFL scout. Did you ever scout these guys? You ever scout Olin Krutz or Patrick Manley?
Yeah, I tell you what. Matter of fact, Olin, I know for sure. Patrick, I was in pro scouting, so I saw them both. I was fortunate. I started with the Green Bay Packers so in 92, so I know a lot about those old Chicago Bear players. I was very fortunate to be on the Super Bowl team in 96 up there in Green Bay. But, yeah, it was always a daunting task. Again, I use the word daunting again, having to deal with, you know, a quality players that the Bears always had.
I got a horrible statistic for anybody if they're interested. The Bears, you would seem to believe that the Cowboys can score a lot of points. The Bears are 0-25 since 2021, after 2021, 0-25 against teams that score 23 points or more. The race to 23 might be able to do it for Dallas.
Well, yeah, I think both teams, like I said, people, they always ask for predictions here. And, you know, and I really do feel like that if conditions are good, I think the Bears are going to be able to move the ball. I really, really do. And, you know, Dallas has got to kind of figure out some things defensively. I think it's going to be tough. I think the Bears, with their injuries on defense, I think it's going to be tough for them to have to deal with all the weapons, you know, especially, you know, with your nickel situation. And, you know, Kyler Gordon's just a hell of a football player, you know, and Nick McLeod is a guy I think that they might go after in this game. And you could put Lamb in there, you could put Pickens inside and kind of do some things. But if Dallas can protect, I think both teams are really, really kind of, it's going to be, you know, which offensive line really gets it done today. But I can see this being a very high-scoring game, and I know Bears fans are probably saying, wow, Brian, they don't score anything. Well, the Giants didn't score very much either going into the game last week, and look what happened there. Very similar. This game could very much be that same way.
Great stuff, Brian. Thank you so much. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate you guys. Take care.
That's Brian Broaddus from the
We hit on another one, Mully. Another good one. Man.
Yeah. 105.3. And he scouted apparently all the old Bears, which now includes you guys. Is that what I took away from that?
I love
that.
You
don't got to tell me. You don't got to tell me twice.
Hey, the problem is I'm still 26 between the years. That's the problem.
And I was like, he mentioned a few dates. I was like, Brian, I wasn't on the Bears yet. But
yeah,
that's okay.
No, you hadn't started yet. That we are here on your local Ford Dealers pregame show. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Dunze in motion, first and goal, fake toss, Williams looking end zone, throws, touchdown! Second of the game for Odunze.
Welcome back to your local Ford Dealers pregame show, and it's time for Who's Hot and Who's Cold. And that's sponsored by Plumbers 911 Plumbing Emergency. Call the professionals, available 24/7 at 1-833-PLUM-911. We'll go with Roma Dunze as the hot player, although as we talked about in the postgame last week, he could have had, I mean, he had great statistics. He could have had even better statistics. So let's hope that that his improvement continues. And for Who's Cold, I mean, boy, there's a lot of choices here. You can pick your poison. I think we should go with Tyreek Stevenson, just as emblematic of issues in the secondary. But there are a lot of candidates, and yet Tyreek Stevenson gets the call if indeed he's allowing a passer rating of close to perfect, if not perfect, when you throw against him. Sorry, Tyreek. Hope you don't get upset and start jawing at me instead of playing the game.
Mully, I think you just put the entire defense out there. They've given up the NFC or Offensive Player of the Week 2 weeks in a row.
Yes.
I think there's good money on Dak Prescott again this week unless something happens. I mean, that's three quarterbacks in a row.
Can you
imagine? That's bad.
Wow. Well,
the details are cold up there at Halas Hall from what we understand.
There we go.
Right? The details are the practice habits are cold. Everything's just Halas Hall needs a win. Needs a win pretty bad.
Oh, boy. And by all accounts, you know, Ben Johnson is this, like, extremely, you know, intense guy. And apparently the whole building is a wreck because he is so focused, which I like hearing it. And I know I'm not supposed to, but good. Put everyone on call, right? I mean, anybody doing any job up there should feel a little chilly this week, given the fact that they surrendered 52 points and got completely blown out up in Detroit. And, you know, it's funny. I think they stopped two third downs in that game at the beginning of that game, and guess what? They ended up not needing a lot of third down play. But believe it or not, they are like bottom three in the league in the number of third downs faced because teams don't need third down against them, which is a really bad habit to fall into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
and when when you're 1-13 in your last 14 games, people should be uncomfortable in the building at Halas Hall and not feeling very good about the way things have gone. And I know Ben just got there, and we all understand that. But that's why they brought him in, right, to get this thing moving in the right direction. And hopefully He puts pressure on people, and they understand why, and they do their job, right? They start to do what they're supposed to do and start to raise the level of everybody in that building. That's why, Pat, you pay somebody $13 million to be your head coach.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be uncomfortable that first year, right? You're figuring out who your head coach is, what the standard is. You're figuring out your position coach. You're figuring out the new, you know, weight coach, all that stuff. I didn't matter. I was still uncomfortable when I was 38 years old when Mark Trestman walked in. I didn't know what I was getting. I didn't know what to expect. So you should be uncomfortable, and then losing obviously doubles that down. So it needs to be uncomfortable. I thought they got a little too comfortable losing last year. They've been a little too comfortable losing in the past. But Ben Johnson told you when he got there, get comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think that's important. I think you should be. You should always be on a little edge. Like Olin, you talked about it earlier. You thought Coach was talking to you when he said, you know, you got to study more film, get more in the weight room. And you're obviously doing everything the right way. But the great ones, the good ones, the ones who want to be better, think they're talking to him. So you should. Even the good ones are uncomfortable. I guarantee you Brian Urlacher was uncomfortable a little bit.
Yeah, and it goes both ways, right, Pat? I remember Lovey coming in and saying they were evaluating Reuben Brown. And Reuben said in the paper, I'm evaluating him too, right? Like everyone should be a little uncomfortable and challenging each other to the fact of like, look, you said in the press conference that we don't have the details. I noticed that your details are a little off, right? Me and Harry Hiestand, me and Bob Wiley, me and Pete Hayner, Pat, you notice you're in the meetings. Me and Mike Tice challenge each other all the time. Mm-hmm. Always after each other, right? Always after, look, you said this. I remember telling coaches, like, you might want to film yourself in your meetings because you're saying something totally different on the field than you're saying in your meeting. So everyone in holding each other accountable, everybody being a little uncomfortable after they're losing, they're doing up there is a good thing for Hallis Hall and challenging each other. But coaches have to remember, you're available to be challenged too, right? You're available, like, you need to hold your standard too, right? You can't just off a whim challenge a guy that the ball's on the ground, right? Like, you need to be, the ball needs to be kicked out of bounds, right? Like, Pat, let's be honest. You can't say, well, it's his first two games coaching, but the players need to hold themselves accountable.
Right.
You can't
right.
say that. You know that better than anybody. You know what those players are saying in that locker room when you watch that game. You know what's going on in that football field when he challenges that guy. And you know what? I would say it in the locker room. How the hell did he not know that rule? I didn't know the rule, but that's not my job.
Right.
Right. How the hell didn't our kicker, Cairo, kick out of bounds? Then he kicks it out of bounds the first play of the game, the next game.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, yes, Ben Johnson needs to hold the players to the standard. But don't fool yourselves that the players aren't saying the same thing about that coaching staff when they're in the locker room. Pat, you know that when we're on the bus, we're in the locker room. Guys are always talking about what the coaches are doing.
The back of bus, too. Hey, Mully, so we bring you into O-line room meetings with Olin because it was great because there would be maybe gray areas of stuff. And Olin would challenge the coach. He would ask him straight up, what the heck are you talking about here? You said this on the – and it would get uncomfortable. In our entire – you would see everybody's head in meetings just look right down at the desk. And Olin would have a discussion with the coach. Sometimes there would be a timeout call. The coach had to go down the hallway and talk to the OC or running backs coach or whatever they're trying to figure out. But here's the thing. The answer came.
Right.
It was all on the same – we were all on the same page. And, hey, that uncomfortable – yeah, you feel uncomfortable. Screw it. But we all got the answer, and everybody was on the same page. So Coach made Olin better. Olin made Coach better. It made us all better by knowing what we're doing. And there's nothing wrong with being uncomfortable.
Well, I I'm lucky enough to have covered those teams. But it seemed as if with Olin on one side of the ball, Urlacher on the other side of the ball, you know, Mike Brown – for his tenure, it seemed like you had leaders on that team and you had people that were going to, you know, and I get it. Urlacher was more leader by example maybe, but, you know, still great guy to have on your team. I don't know who the leaders of this team are. And I look at the captains and, you know, Cairo Santos is a captain. That's curious, but that's special teams. He's representative. But you get the other two guys just got here. And there are captains who were stripped of their captaincy in part because they had way too many captains, in my opinion. But who are the leaders of this team? Has that yet to develop along with everything else? And when you hear the coach say things like, we'll be playing our best football at the end of the year, we'll be playing our best football in December, that hasn't happened since the Lovey era. That's the last time the Bears were at their best in December.
Yeah, and Pat, I don't want to create this fairy tale that we had this amazing run, right? We had problems too at Hallis sure. Hall, and that's why we speak on it, right? We speak mm-hmm. on the things that the challenges that were there to get the teams to do. I think it was 2005 to 2010 or 11 was probably our best run there until Lovey was done. But you know, there was no Super Bowls, and it wasn't a consistent playoff run, and that's why we can speak to some of the things that they speak about up there at Hallis mm-hmm. Hall. I said we could talk about some of the things that they do talk about. And, yes, we would challenge coaches, and the coaches would challenge us. But sometimes you just couldn't – there was too many of the wrong people in one building, and you couldn't get it moving in the right direction because you just couldn't get some people to move in the right direction. And that's why when you see things from the outside, you start to wonder, man, like when they keep saying the same things, well, do you have to clear the building out, right? Because you need a lot of people to win football games. And I think that is what a young coach – and Ben Johnson is going through. And to Molly's point, there's just so many things of, okay, who's the young, I keep saying, right? Like we've talked all about this leadership and everything that was said this year. And we talked about the captains, and I'm waiting to hear from Joe Tooney, right? Mm-hmm. I haven't heard, and I know he leads by example. I told you earlier, I love watching his film, but I'd love to know what he thinks about details. I remember the first time I went to New Orleans and I saw a quarterback do what Drew Brees did in walkthroughs and in team meetings. And they said, okay, guys, we're going to install the two-minute drill, which is at the end of the half for offenses. And then the coaches stood up and left the room. And I thought, man, I thought are we taking a break? No, Drew Brees stood up and installed the two-minute offense, right? Like he was just setting a tempo and doing the details and the things that you talk about. I remember I told the story a million times. We did the first walkthrough, Pat. And he did a scramble drill, went through the play, went through his whole progression, spun out, did a scramble drill, had the receivers do the scramble drill with him. And I didn't know who to block. I didn't know what I was supposed to be doing at that time, right? Because I was just standing there and I thought, am I supposed to still go? 40 seconds later, the one play we ran was done, right? So that when you talk about details and stuff, you can't just be talking about it.
Yeah, and back to leadership too, Olin, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes a coach needs to find his leaders as well. And I don't know if you mm-hmm. want to call them mouthpieces, but guys that are following him and know how to get his message across in the locker room. Mm-hmm. I know there were times, Olin, we had captains meetings or whatever, and you and Brian or whoever would be kind of the mouthpiece of the coach to get that message to everybody else. And you got to be on the same page. And a player has to buy into the coach. So they're still trying to figure out Ben Johnson. Everybody wants to win, and you're on the same page. You're a Chicago Bear in that regard. But as far as like, it's like a marriage between players and coaches, and it takes a little bit of time. So are these captains this year? No, they're not the same as last year. Are they going to be the same next year? They might change. They could change. Obviously, they could change if guys move along and contracts and all that kind of stuff. But you start finding out who your captains are with certain coaches as well.
Yeah, and Molly, real quick, your coaching staff, I always thought, has certain captains too. Yes. Guys who hold your standard when you're not there. Guys who demand. Hey, look, run that again, right? It can't always be bent, right? I mean, we hear a lot about Coach Bieniemy and his energy and stuff at practice, right? Coach Rochard, Declan Doyle, Antoine Randall-L, the offensive coordinator, Dennis Allen and all his coaches. And there's, like we keep talking about, right? If you look at that Chicago Bears defense but in 05, 06, look at the coaching staff, guys. I mean, there were all-stars on that staff, right? Ron Rivera ended up being a head coach. They had yes. three or four defensive coordinators. And the guys ended up being defense coach. Rod Marinelli. Like, when they were playing good, the staff was packed with good coaches mm-hmm. and good players. It takes both.
I wonder, and I mean, it's an unfair question to ask, but you look at the Bears and you look at the head coach and him coming in here, and you can't help but wonder, who does he consider – to be the building blocks of this team? Who mm-hmm. does he like? Who has he developed any kind of rapport with, or who does he believe can be at this level or that level? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I think like Zaccheaus has played well enough that he doesn't need replacing, but they drafted a guy that to play the position he plays. Mm-hmm. How do they feel about that player? How do they feel? And it takes time. And there are certain, you know, contractual obligations for players who are going to be here, whether they're the coach's guy or not. But I wonder, you know, who's going to build this team? Because apparently it wasn't built the way we thought it was before the coach came in. We talked a lot about Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, coming into a situation better than any number one overall pick had ever come into, because so many things were in place. Well, what was really in place? And they didn't have the – they went out and hired a coach that wasn't – couldn't connect with him. We all know what happened last year. But I'm just saying, it's weird to me to look at all this stuff and wonder where this will eventually lead. If this guy – and they invested a lot of money in him. He's not going anywhere. The Bears aren't going to pay anybody $13 million to walk away times four after this year, then three, then two. It's just – I think he's getting his 5 years, but I don't know who else is.
Yeah, I think a head coach is always, you know, he comes in and he has a vision of what he wants, right? He has Caleb Williams, number one pick, hoping he's the franchise guy, but he's evaluating him, right? He's evaluating everybody to be in his vision and what he sees going forward. So, yeah, the thing is, yeah, I think he's got some safety as far as years and number of years to do this, but it is the NFL. It's win now, right? We're expecting him to win now. We've been told that Ryan Poles has put together a roster that should compete right now. So the pressure is on Ben Johnson, but he is also evaluating everybody in that building. And from year one to year two, it's going to change. Lovey did it with staff as well. Guys, you know, you're evaluating some of the coaches you had to bring in were maybe later than you thought, that aren't your guys that you're waiting to get off another staff another year. So it does take time. It's evaluation of the players and the staff. So we'll see what goes forward with this, but you're just hoping it's not a just throwaway season completely. Let's get a win today and start seeing if we can get better, because this 0-2 start has been ugly.
Yeah, as long as you get it moving in the right direction, Pat, to your point, mm-hmm. right? And you talked about staff. Well, talk about Terry Shea, right? Terry Shea yep. was our first 2004 offensive coordinator, and Lovey said, man, it doesn't mean Terry Shea's not a good coach. It just wasn't for Hallis Hall at that mm-hmm. time. And for what Lovey Smith wanted to do, his brand, style of football, and who he wanted his team to be. So he went and got Ron Turner and Harry Hiestand, right? So that is exactly what you're talking about there. And then, like you're saying, it turned into, okay, how do we say what coach is saying? Who are the leaders? Who are the guys in this room that are going to hold guys accountable? And look, like I said, I don't want to turn this fairy tale that we won three Super Bowls. We didn't. And there was more to work we had to do. And there was more things that needed to be done to get to that point, and we didn't. So this team, Ben Johnson, where he's at right now, you don't know, Mully, what you have until the live bullets start flying. You don't know until things go wrong what kind of guy you got. So that's what he's looking into. I'm sure he wants to make a few changes already, even this early in the season, into what he sees with his roster and his staff.
All right, we're going to come back, and we're going to make our picks for the game. You're listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show on The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
We're back with more of your local Ford dealers football pregame show on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to your local Ford dealers pregame show. We've got Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley. I'm Mully from the morning show. And gentlemen, we've reached the portion of the program where we're going to start prognosticating and breaking down the game. And, you know, Olin, you read this game very well last week. You felt what was coming. I don't know if my mind has been altered by all these horrible years of I think since we've been working on this show together, there's a curse. But it's just been hard to – Patrick, I heard you on the air say that there are some children that are growing up in Chicago that don't know, that can't remember the Bears winning. And it really resonated with me because I grew up on the South Side and I was a White Sox fan and I took my kids to Sox games. And, you know, I picked the wrong team apparently because they've never really seen this team win in their lifetime. It's just horrible for them. And I feel like I cursed them with my my geographical interests. And the Bears, it's just been so bad for so long, and you really want this to change. And I kind of had a decent feel. I ended up taking the Bears in the game. And I think the only reason I did, I took them like 30-27, I think, on the radio on Friday. And I think the only reason I did is because if they can't win a game now, then what happens when they go on the road again? That looked bad even in the preseason on the road. I just have no good feeling about this team, about how they're going to continue to get better if they can't find a way to win a game. They've got to find a way to win a game. And that's a terrible, illogical reason to pick it. But, you know, even after the disaster of last week, God, they need a win.
Yeah, I got to go back to Olin. Olin and I talked about, I got to give Olin credit about the kids because we were talking about his kids. And, you know, the last decade, you know, we haven't won. And it is unfortunate. What's interesting is after I said that on the radio, I got numerous texts from dads that were like, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about that. So thank you, Olin. I had to make sure I give you credit on that one.
You guys seen last night, my two boys could really use a win today.
Yeah. but talking about the young kids, man, it is hard. It is hard, and you want them to win. The city deserves a winner. But, Mully, like you're talking about, I just don't feel good about this team. I came in last year drinking the Kool-Aid. I came in excited this year. Then we've seen what we've seen. And, yeah, they have an opportunity today. If you put on tape some of the matchups Olin and I have been talking about, they're there. Dallas isn't great, but they have some great players. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the Bears, of all the talent they have on the outside, you know, us potentially at quarterback, what Dak's doing right now, how they're struggling on defense. So, Mully, you want the final score right now?
If you want to give
predictions?
I'll
go ahead and go. I'm going to give you my little prediction here then.
Please.
I'll just start with the final score. Final score is 34-31. I'm not saying who won yet. So the Bears haven't scored 30 points since week 5 and 6 of last year. You remember they used to be 4-2? They were 4-2 before that Washington game, and we were all excited about that offense. I want to see that come back.
Remember?
Yeah, we were all excited. Mm-hmm. So let's get back to that. Let's score 30 points, and I think the Bears can do that today. I definitely think they can get 30 points. And I do think I'm going to hit on my Colson Loveland bet that I talked with Grody about, and I'll pay him, you know, the extra money for helping me out with that one. But the problem is I have the Bears losing 34-31. I just don't trust them yet.
I see them scoring
points. I see the matchups there. But I also see the matchups for them. So I can't trust them yet. So I've got the Bears losing 34-31.
Yeah, I'm always on the line of scrimmage, right? I'm a line of scrimmage guy, and I'm always looking at it and looking for the advantages. And I think that team has an advantage unless there's a Hall of Fame quarterback on the other side. And I think the Bears have the advantage at the line of scrimmage. And they have beat themselves all year, and I know what you guys are saying. And there can't be all these penalties. There can't be all these takeaways. And you know, Coach Ben Johnson hopefully got that corrected. I'm going to go with what Pat said a little bit earlier, right? I'm going to say the Bears are losing 27-24 with under 2 or 3 minutes left, and Caleb gets the ball in his hands, takes them down the field, hits Cole Kmet. They win the game 31-27.
Oh, my God. That is a shocker. Pat, you stand alone, which is the enviable position.
I think they're better on the offensive line. I think they're better on the offensive and defensive lines, and I think – there'll be, you know, nothing is worse than embarrassed to play against, Pat knows this, than embarrassed NFL football players. And they sounded like this week when Grady Jarrett talking, and they're going to challenge each other. And I think they just have just enough on those line of scrimmages to get this win today. And hopefully Swift, like Grody talked about, hopefully he runs like he talks this week, you know?
Yeah.
I'd like to clarify 2 points that were made during the program. I feel that Grady Jarrett may have been upset not because he doesn't practice hard. He hasn't practiced. You know, we talked to Grody about he hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. Do you think he felt it was about him because he's not practicing or something? You know, it was just a weird reaction from him, as far as I'm concerned, as a team captain. Didn't like guys getting called out about not practicing strong because he probably feels like, hey, I've got a bad knee and I'm playing through it and I'm not practicing, and how dare you call me out over that. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but proud guy. The other thing is, we should have clarified when I talked earlier about Braxton Jones, that we heard the coach, the offensive line coach, Roshar, come out and say that he feels like he's wearing out in the second half of games. That if you break down his statistics, yeah, he's allowing a lot of pressures and sacks, but he's been a lot better in the first half than the second half, and that some of that may be due to the fact that he was injured all of last year, and he's coming back from an injury, and whether physically or mentally, whatever it is, he may be wearing out in games. And maybe that's one of the reasons they want to get him some help. On, you know, I don't want to sit here and say that they've given up on him as a player and that they're just blaming him as a player, because it is a possibility that his performance, and you see it on the tape, that it's getting worse as the game goes on. And, of course, they're falling farther behind, and situationally last week they had to throw more. But I just want to be fair to him and say, let's wait and see what happens.
Hey, Olin, asking you, rolling in an offensive lineman, like platooning him, like Theo and Charles Leno, mm-hmm. is that, I mean, if he is wearing out in the second half, is it a thing to do where, you know, give him a couple series off here and there so he is better in the second half?
Yeah, I want to say first, I know that people know I've worked with Braxton, and even Ryan Post has said I haven't worked with him in 2 years, and I have no inside information here, but I wonder, whenever you hear a coach and people talking like that, somebody that's got to be coming from the player, right? My leg is wearing out at the end of the game, and that's what's happening to me, and I just don't feel as strong, and I can't get my feet in the ground and get my hands on somebody. Like, you know, Pat, at tackle, you know better than me. If you can't get a leg in the ground, you have a problem.
Yes. Yep.
All right. Great stuff,
Adam,
guys.
Adam was like the Emmys, you know, like play music on me while trying to accept my award.
He walked you off. Yeah. Come on.
Thanks, Adam. That's what they do with the piccolo with you every year.
Adam, are you gonna let the man thank
his
family?
Get off the stage. You're done talking. Same speech as last year.
George wants all my piccolos back.
All right. We want to thank Adam Staszynski for his great work today. We want to thank everyone who listened to us. Stay tuned. The Cubs are upcoming. You will hear them hopefully win a game in Cincinnati. They've lost three straight there. It's just got to be the hangover fact that they've already clinched a playoff spot. But they need to win this game. So stay tuned, and you'll get all the breakdown of what's going on. You are listening to your local Ford dealers pregame show. We will be back. As soon as the game is over, make sure you tune in back on 670 The Score for the football postgame show presented by TimberTech Decking and Railing and Aturo Tire. But for now, thanks to everyone, and we're going to take a few minutes, watch some football, and get to the game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.